Praise God. Praise your name, Father. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. God is good, isn't he? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I think God had me change gears here. I was going to share something with you, and I think I'm going to go in another direction here. Praise the Lord. And if you would, you could turn over to Joel chapter 2. And in Joel chapter 2, it says, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain, that all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh and at hand." And you know, I'm going to stop right there for a minute, and I'm going to tell you, the day of the Lord for you is always nigh, and it's always at hand. It's at hand every day, every moment. You know, as you go down through scriptures, you'll find different times where it talks about the day of the Lord. And it'll tell you that it was at hand. And you know, a lot of times we want to push it off into some future day, but it's today. Today. And when he's saying blow the trumpet in Zion, you know, I've told you all the story about Lee Helpenstein, you know, denting his trumpet and getting upset and years ago, and telling the story about I was kind of complaining to God, and I said, "God, they bent your trumpet," because he played the trumpet upon the platform. And he said, the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, "That's not my trumpet, son. You're my trumpet." Amen. And God wants you to begin to blow your trumpet in Zion. You know, if you're going to blow it in Zion, that means you got to go up into a higher place in him. You got to be willing to go up into a higher place. And you know, when he calls you up into a higher place, he'll show you things that you've never seen before. He'll reveal things to you that will just absolutely thrill your heart. And I'm going to tell you, he's calling his people up into a higher place. He's wanting us to ascend into the hill of the Lord. And when we ascend into the hill of the Lord, we're going to begin to see things very clearly and see exactly what God wants us to do and know exactly how he wants us to do it. And I'm telling you, you are his trumpet. He wants you to begin to blow that trumpet in Zion. And, you know, it goes on, it says, "A day of darkness and a day of gloominess, a day of clouds and a day of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountain. A great people and a strong people, there hath not been ever the like thereof, neither shall there be any more after it, even to the years of many generations." And I'm going to tell you what, you all are a peculiar people. You're very peculiar. And you say, "Well, Oscar, don't call me peculiar. I'm not peculiar." No, you are. You're a very peculiar people. Because you know what? He chose you out of the many, many millions of people out there to be sitting here today to hear his voice, that he wants to begin to send you forth. He wants to begin to cause you to begin to set the captives free. And I'm going to tell you what, you might say, "Well, Lord, I can't do that." You know, me and Kathy were talking back there, and, you know, we got into some pretty deep stuff in Sunday school this morning. But you know what? Like I told her, I said, "You know, Kathy," I said, "God chose the foolish things to confound the wise." I said, "So the things that he's revealed to me, I must be awful foolish, because he's revealed some things to me. But thank God that you don't have to be smart. You don't have to have a PhD. You don't have to have went to 15 years of seminary or whatever it is. All you have to do is just follow the leading of the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. Let him open up to you whatever he'll open up to you. And you know what? He'll open up some of the greatest mysteries that you'll ever could imagine. And the greatest mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that creation is groaning and travailing, waiting for that to break forth to the outside so they can be set free in the glorious liberty of being the children of God. And he goes on and he says, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong people there hath not been ever like, neither shall there be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth, and the land is as the garden of Eden before them, and behind them is desolate wilderness, and nothing shall escape them. You know, there's coming a day, folks, as God begins to minister his word out of you. You know, we were talking about back there in Sunday school that our God is a consuming fire, and he makes his ministers a flame of fire. And when he talks about a fire devouring before them, he's not talking about destruction of the earth as we know it. He's talking about the fire of God beginning to devour the wood, hay, and stubble in people's lives. And he's saying that a fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. And you know, I'm going to tell you, after God sends you into situations where you become the fire of God to somebody, he's going to leave a flame. When you walk away, there's still going to be a flame there. And you might say, well, Oscar, I've talked to people many times about the Lord, and I don't see no flame. There's a flame there, because his word never returns void. And he always leaves his fire behind. And it says, and a flame burneth in the land as the garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, nothing shall escape them. You know, a lot of times when you come into a situation, God wants you to cause the desert to blossom like a rose. He wants you to cause even the desert, the dry places in people's lives. He wants you to be the water. He wants you to be the flame. He wants you to be all those things. And I'm telling you what, he's going to give you the ability to do those things if you'll run after him, if you'll follow on to know the Lord. And you know, a lot of times we say, well, bless God, Oscar, I've been in this thing for 50 years. I'm following on to know him. And my question to you today is, are you really following on to know him? Are you running after him? And you say, well, you know, I'm running after him. No, are you really running after him? Are you putting him ahead of everything else? Is he becoming the first priority in your life? You know, a lot of times we don't want to admit it, but a lot of times he's not. And it says, and the appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen, so shall they run. And you know, I remember years ago, I reading a little pamphlet that Bill Britton had called The Harness of the Lord. Great, great little pamphlet. And he said that, you know, there was these horses out in the field, and they were all just running around, you know, and just having a good old time. He said, but then the other horses in the field began to notice that the master's carriage came by. And there were certain horses that were hooked up to this carriage and were pulling this carriage along. You know, and they were all just moving right in unison and just accomplishing to take that thing right where the master wanted it to go. And you know, but yet there was other little horses out there in the field just running wild and doing their own thing and running here and running there and doing a little bit of everything. Well, you know what? The one horse was taken out of the field, and he was attached up to the harness. And it took some discipline. And sometimes you wonder in your life why the Lord requires things of you that he doesn't require of other people. Why he puts you in situations that sometimes he doesn't put other people in those same situations. They seem to be able to just go about their lackadaisical life, do anything they want, go anywhere they want, and God just leaves them alone, lets them go. Well, I got news for you. He's got a purpose in you. He's got you in a place of training. He's got you set in a place where he's teaching you to move as he bids you move. If he bids for you to go to the right, you're going to go to the right. If he bids you go to the left, you're going to go to the left. You know, And he says here, like the noise of chariots on the top of the mountains, they shall leap like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as strong people set in battle array. You know, he wants to burn up the wood, hay, and stubble in people's lives. And he's going to cause you to be that fire that will do it. And it says, before their faces shall be much pain, all the faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the walls like men of war. They shall march every one on his ways. They shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path. And they shall fall upon the sword, and they shall not be wounded. And you know, God has a path for you. He has a path for me. You can only fulfill the path that he has for you. I can't fulfill your path. You can't fulfill mine. And whatever he's calling you to do, he's calling you to do that with all your heart and to give yourself totally to him. You know, I like where it says, they shall run like mighty men and they shall climb the walls like men of war. And you know, so many times everybody that you come in contact, they have walls up in their lives. And unless you've been sometimes on the other side of the wall, you can't always know how to minister to them. And sometimes we've wondered, well, Lord, I'm a Christian. Why did I go through deep places of depression? Why did I go through places where I even doubted you at times? Or I even had situations to where it seemed like I couldn't gain victory in a certain area or whatever it is. Well, you know, a lot of times he allows you to go through those places so that as you overcome, then when you run across somebody else, you can climb up over that wall and minister to them. You know, if I'll be honest with you, if you've never drank anything in your life and God sends an alcoholic around you, it's kind of hard to minister to an alcoholic. If you've never taken a drug sometimes, and sometimes you wonder, well, Lord, how come you brought me out of this or you brought me out of that? If you've never been in some of those areas sometimes, it's harder for you to minister to someone who is there because you don't really understand. You know, I've heard people say to me over the years, they'd say, I just don't understand why so-and-so don't quit smoking. They know it's bad for their health. I just don't understand. Well, I'll tell you what, smoke for 2 or 3 years and you'll understand it. It is a super addictive thing. It's not easy to overcome it. And you know, I don't say that to people because years ago I used to smoke, you know. And I know I tried to quit smoking and tried to quit smoking and tried to quit smoking and couldn't. And after I got saved, right before I got saved, I was standing at work one day and I was about 20 years old and I'd been smoking. And I've told you all this before. I'd been smoking from the time I was 5 till I was about 20, I was smoking, you know. I had older sisters that smoked, and they would give me cigarettes to keep me from telling on them, you know. Well, I'd smoke them, and then I'd take my lunch money, and I'd buy packs of cigarettes. Nowadays, a 5-year-old kid can't walk in the store and buy a pack of cigarettes. Years ago, you could. And I smoked and smoked and smoked, and I tried to quit smoking. And I was standing at work one day, and I had just bought a brand-new pack of cigarettes, and I said, I was having chest pains. I was getting bronchitis a lot. I weighed about 145 pounds. That's the only good thing about smoking. It keeps the weight off of you sometimes. I weighed about 145 pounds. And, you know, I'm standing there, and I'm having these chest pains. And I said, God, please help me quit smoking. I can't do it. I had tried and tried and tried. And you know what? I laid that pack of cigarettes in the top of my toolbox, never smoked another cigarette again. Never. And I knew it was a miraculous thing because I could not quit. And I'm telling you, but I do not condemn people who smoke. I do not say to people, well, I don't know why you don't quit smoking. I know why you don't quit smoking, because I couldn't quit. I know exactly why you don't. I know why you can't quit drugs. Because, you know, if you're on drugs, it's addictive. Your body craves it, you know. I know why you can't quit drinking if you're an alcoholic on your own. Because you know what? Your body craves it. But I'll tell you this, God will begin to use you out of the situations and circumstances that you've been to climb the walls in other people's lives. And maybe it's other things. Maybe it's other habits or other things. You know, I mean, there's people who are addicted to sports. There's people who are addicted to a lot of things. You know, I got my hair cut the other day, and I was talking to the barber. He's 58 years old. He said, man, if my knees hadn't gotten bad, I'd still be out playing softball. I thought, yeah. You know, usually at 58 years old, you can't play softball like you did when you was a kid, you know. But he said, I'd still be out there doing that if I wasn't 58, my knees weren't bad. I said, well, you know, I didn't say too much. But you know what? A lot of times people are addicted to a lot of things out there. The yokes need to be broken in their lives. And I'm going to tell you what, God will allow you to minister to them as only you can. And maybe you've had prejudices, or maybe you've had other things in your life, or whatever it happens to be. But I'm going to tell you what, he's calling forth an army of deliverers, people to come forth and begin to deliver other people. And that's why a lot of times, like I say, you might say, well, I don't understand why me being a Christian, I went through such a place of deep depression. Well, you know what? He allowed you to go through that so that you'd understand what depression was all about. You know, I'm telling you, I've shared that I had epilepsy when I was a kid from the time I was 9 till I was 12, and God healed me of that. But I tell you what, I know what it is to feel awkward and to feel, did not like to go in places and get up in front of people and all that stuff. I can understand that when people are like that, because I didn't want to do that, because I had some seizures in public. And people say stupid things to you. You know, it's embarrassing and all that kind of stuff. Had one in school one time, you know. But yet, I understand the dark places that you go through when you get depressed. I understand some of that stuff. Do I look back at that now and say, boy, I'm sure glad God took me through that? No, I'm not glad he took me through it, but I'm sure glad that I learned from it. I'm sure I maybe could not have learned to have compassion on other people in certain areas had I not went through some of those things. But, you know, he wants us folks to run like mighty men of war, to climb the walls. And you know, if you can't walk with the horsemen, how are you going to run the race that's set before you? We're in a race. And I'll tell you what, that race is not something that we do on our own. It's something that we do in unison with what God's calling us to do. It's something that we do by being obedient to whatever he tells us to do on a daily basis. It says, they shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the walls like men of war. They shall march everyone on his ways. And I like it says on his ways. It doesn't say on your ways. It says on his ways. And it says, they shall march everyone on his ways. And it goes ahead and it says, and they shall not break their ranks, neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path. And I'm going to tell you what, it isn't about you getting ahead or you pushing somebody else out of the way or anything like that. You know, I had a person say to me one time in a situation that they must have wanted to do more in the church than what they were was happening with them. I had a person say to me one time, you threw me a bone every now and then. And when they said that to me, you know what came to my mind? You are the bone. Let God put you where he wants to put you. You know, in Ezekiel, he took him down to the boneyard, and he said, look there, see all them bones? Ezekiel said, yeah, Lord, I see them. He said, can these live? Ezekiel was smart. He wasn't stupid. He didn't say, well, you know, Lord, it's possible if science did this. Or he didn't do any of that. He was smart. He said, thou knowest. Only you know God. only you know. And I'm going to tell you what, when you think that you should be more than what you are, you probably shouldn't be more than what you are. You probably are in right where God wants you and right in the situation he wants you in. And, you know, then he said, thou knowest. And there came a rattling of the bones. And they started coming together. And then as they started coming together, then as they found their position, then I think the flesh began to come upon them and so on and so forth. And what was God showing them? He was showing him that, hey, this thing is all about me. And it's about you being obedient and you looking to me and everything. And, you know, and he says here, and they shall not thrust one another, and they shall walk everyone in his path. And they shall fall upon the sword, and they shall not be wounded. And, you know, when you fall upon the sword speaks of the word of God. When you fall upon his word, and you say, Lord, I submit to your word that you've given me. You know, it will divide asunder between joint and marrow and soul and spirit. It'll begin to show you what is soul and what is spirit. It'll begin to show you, not to bring separation between soul and spirit, because the Lord showed me that a long time ago, but to bring identification so that you can identify what is soul and what is spirit. Because the soul in each one of us is the woman that needs to be under the headship of the Lord. And it's the one that needs to be married to the Lord. And when it's married to the Lord, then the only thing it can bring forth is the Son of God. But I'm going to tell you what, when it's not, then it becomes the harlot, because it's out running and doing its own thing and heading off in every direction but the direction the Lord wants it to go. Praise the Lord. They shall run to and fro in the city, and they shall climb upon the walls. They shall climb upon the houses, and they shall enter the windows like a thief. And the earth shall quake before them, and the heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is a strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and terrible, and who can abide it? Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your hearts, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, and slow of anger, and great of kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him? And I'm going to tell you what, when you have a repentful type spirit, he always leaves a blessing. Because you're called after the order of Melchizedek. You're called to bless and not to curse. You're called to be a blessing. And it says, and who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation as assemble, the elders together, and the children, and those that suck the breast, and the bridegroom goeth forth from his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priest of the ministers of the Lord weep before the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O God, and give not thine inheritance to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Therefore should they say among the people, where is their God? The Lord be jealous for his land and pity for his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and you shall be satisfied. Therefore I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen, but I will remove far off from the north army, and will drive them into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east and his hinder parts toward the uttermost seas. And his stink shall come up, and ill savor shall come up, because he hath done great things. And you know, God wants to bring us to a place to where, you know, when it talks about the north, a lot of times it's talking about the hidden areas. It's talking about the unknown areas. And a lot of times, Christians spend a lot of time worrying about things that they don't need to worry about. Hidden things and unknown things. I mean, people worry to death about the political system out there. Don't worry about that. God's got that in control. Just trust the Lord, you know. Do what you feel like God wants you to do. Don't worry about all that. You know, whatever's supposed to happen there will happen. Just trust in the Lord. And you trust in Him and you watch and see. He'll bring this all, He's going to bring it all around the way it's supposed to be, you know. But I want you to know, He's calling forth an army. He's saying, blow the trumpet in Zion. You're the trumpet. Begin to blow that trumpet in Zion. Come up into the high places in God. Spend time seeking Him. Come up a little higher and know that He's going to begin to bring you forth. And even though sometimes it seems like the day, there's darkness around the day and gloominess, you know, the Lord was in the midst of all that. You know, when He appeared on the mountain back in the Old Testament, it was gloomy and dark, and He was in the shadows. But I tell you what, He's gonna come out of the shadows and begin to break forth in a people. And they're going to be spread upon the mountain, and they're going to be a people that there's going to be a flame before them, and they're going to leave a flame everywhere they go. And if you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. That's all I had to share with you today. Praise God. But are we willing to run after Him? Just ask yourself that sometime. And ask yourself, am I really willing to run after You, Lord? Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank You for Your word, for truly Your words are spirit and life. And I ask You, Father, to give us all the desire and even the fortitude, I'd say, in You to run the race that's set before us. To press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And I thank You for what You're going to do, and I thank You for Your people, and I ask You to just bless them in the name of Jesus. And Father, even cause us to just begin to seek after You with a greater desire and a greater heart for You, that we might fulfill everything that You've called us to do in this earth, and that we might be a blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Got food back there if y'all want to go back and enjoy it. Enjoy the fellowship. God bless y'all.